covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, where I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Every word he has, is this on?
But not every word you have to say.
You got to tell me when you're ready.
3, 2, 1.
It's all on you, buddy. Now? Okay, here we go. Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's actually not his fault that there's no mic button in the studio.
True. Also, some of the pre-segment conversations we've had in this room are worthy of being a little judicious.
That's right. That's
the thing. On opening the mics.
If I see mouths moving, I go, ooh, let's wait, turn the mics on.
There's a coin flip. There's something being said that shouldn't be put on the air.
Blair Kirchhoff is a fine, upstanding citizen. I don't know why you two are trying to throw him under the bus.
We don't curse when Blair's here. I mean, it's just out of deference to him.
College Insider from the Kansas City Star is brought to you by Art and Frame Warehouse. FrameKC.com. If you want to see my buddy Michael's great shop online, they're absolutely the best when it comes to. In fact, I'm going to be headed over there pretty soon. Little Christmas gift that I got to get framed up. Going to Art and Frame Warehouse. That's where I take all my jerseys, all my sports memorabilia. Mention A10, mention the program, mention Petro. You will get a discount. Just make sure they know what you're talking about. You know, the guy, the fat guy with the radio, the thing. You know, okay. You know, say A10. That's the easiest way. And you get a discount. They frame it like no one else. Perfectly smooth and flat, showcasing all the things that make a jersey unique or your sports memorabilia, whether it's photos or magazine articles or newspaper articles. They're the best. They've even done boxing trunks, boxing gloves, Olympic medals. Of course, your family albums, a big family portrait. Yes, they do that as well. They're absolutely the best. Buying in bulk saves money, so they can pass along the same kind of pricing that the big box stores do. The difference is their ability. They are 10 times better. One-on-one attention to detail, custom designs. It's only at Art and Frame Warehouse. 92nd and Metcalf, online at FrameKC.com. Blair, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. And by the way, who was it that came up with that final stumps question?
Well, somebody sent it to Adam, and Adam chose it.
What an outstanding, out-of-the-blue compliment that I was not expecting, Blair. Thank you.
You totally asked him to do that, you buffoon. Blair's just such a nice guy.
Yes.
This is ridiculous, but okay. Yeah, Adam didn't even come up with it. Somebody sent it in. And Adam being, a child relative to us, is like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, God, no way they could know that. And we all watched it that night, for God's sake.
Do you know how I actually know that I knew that event happened? Was because one of how kids will get videotapes and can just obsessively watch them over and over and over again. When I was around that
age.
Yes,
but we don't talk about that on the air. What you do in your home is your thing.
When I was a kid for Christmas, I got Sports Illustrated The Year in Sports 1993. And it was a tape I loved watching over and over again, and that was an event from that year. So I was aware of that event.
All of this makes me wish I had heard the question.
It was what weird event interrupted the Riddick Bowe Evander Holyfield championship fight in 93?
Now, before you answer, two things. One, thanks for listening on your way over. That's number one.
I was here. I was actually in the green room. Todd's office, watching Super Bowl 54.
Okay,
on the NFL Network.
Very good, very good. Yeah, so that was the question. Do you know what interrupted the Riddick Bowe Evander Holyfield fight in 1993?
Not off the top of my head.
Me.
Kind of roughly in a roundabout way.
Well, something must have. Was there like a power outage or something? Or
there was a guy with a parachute and a fan strapped to his back. Fan man, he dubbed himself, who basically crash-landed into the ring,
yes.
And then was promptly got his ass kicked by Riddick Bowe's entourage, began to beat him over the head with the old-school 10-pound, Saved by the Bell cell phone.
Zach Morris cell phone.
Yeah, just started clubbing him over the head. And then the guy held a press conference the next day, would refer to himself only as Fan Man and refer to himself in the third person, Fan Man this, Fan
like,
Man
like
that.
Like he was Ricky Henderson or something.
Answered like five or six questions and then ran away from it, turned on the fan, and whoosh, flew away.
Was he protesting something or just looking for attention or what?
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Yes. But, yeah. By the way, you mentioned Adam being younger. I posted one of the Frank
Still
Opinions
questions.
Still
not young, just younger yeah, than younger. Us.
One of the Frank Opinions questions from Tuesday was what performance was more courageous by an athlete, and it was Patrick Mahomes or Carrie Strug. And someone responded, as a born in the 90s sports fan, my only response is, who? And I responded somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I put a little winky emoji. I said, as someone who knows about things that happened before they were born, my only response is, what? And he says, I'm familiar with a lot of stuff. I just don't remember. So I sent him the picture. Of the
what year was Carrie Strug?
96.
96.
Atlanta.
Olympics. So he goes, oh, okay, I remember that.
I imagine Mahomes won that question.
Yes, easily. Yeah. He won it easily.
Although I don't think he necessarily should have.
It was an amazing moment.
That I do Carrie remember. Strug. Carrie Strug, I do remember.
51-49, though. Pretty close.
Yeah.
She performed well. Of course, she was basically forced to go do it almost by... There was no Bella. Andy Reid was like, hey, you got to get out there. Come on, kid.
Yeah.
We're so far down the road from what we wanted to talk to.
Bella
I have
was,
done it again.
Bella
we're
was
not. You are.
Ask, it was yes. not forcing her to go to the locker room for x-rays.
True that.
We'll let you two go snuggle in the corner and continue the 96 Olympic talk. Blair, you were just out covering the Chiefs.
As were you,
yeah,
my friend.
Yep. Boy, and it was electric. Was it not?
I thought it was pretty low energy out there today. And I don't know what I expected.
Was it because most of the media was fat with the free barbecue?
It had a lot to do with it, yes.
The best food spread of the year.
It's because they're all so resolute, though.
It is. It is, the, Curtis. Mm-hmm. I think that is exactly what it is.
It's
a combination
business.
Of barbecue and
yeah.
resolute.
Uh-huh. Take anything away from today? Anything jump at you?
I like Mahomes' answer to your question about the last
dive.
Play.
I asked him, do we have it?
Mm-hmm.
Were we going to use it later?
Yeah,
we'll find others. We have a Curtis has singles. I can't
trying
say
to
tens.
Sell the flag.
Yeah,
number 8.
Number 8. You got that? Can you make that happen in between your research of the 96 Olympics? Let me know.
All right, let's see.
Riddick Bowe.
Bombing.
Richard Jewell.
I was just going to say Richard Jewell.
Let's see. Michael Johnson.
Future Braves Stadium.
Mitch Richmond. All right, yeah, I got
Muhammad
it.
There
Ali.
It is. There it is. Yeah, we found it. Basically, you know, I talked about the fact that, you know, even though there are some people who are trying to claim that somehow he wasn't hit late.
Yes.
So, and I even felt compelled. There's so many people doing that. I felt compelled to be like, listen, there's. I'm not saying it wasn't a flag. There's plenty of photos that show it actually is. That it absolutely is. I said, but, you know, do you try to kind of sell it? Did you?
Right. That was
you know
idea.
To make sure you get the call. You know, and do you worry at that speed? Because he'd had a question earlier. That's the fastest he's run all year,
mm-hmm.
right? And I said, do you worry about, you know, getting hurt? That was my gist of where he's going. And you know, I basically just asked him, you know, is that a sell job?
Yeah, I think it was more. The most pain I had was stopping. So once he pushed me, it would have been hard to put my foot in the ground and try to stop. So I rolled through it. And you get over there with the heaters and the benches and people. That's where a lot of times people get hurt. And I think that's the reason that there's a flag for getting pushed out of bounds like that late. And so once I got pushed, I just tried to roll and try to not hurt people and not hurt myself. And the flag was called. I mean, I was pretty far out of bounds. It was probably the furthest I've been out of bounds before I've been hit. So I rolled through it. The flag was thrown the right way, and it got us in the field goal range.
Pretty good observation there. Furthest he's ever been out of bounds when he got hit.
The spiel, Doug Gottlieb is out there. He's got a still shot of apparently the Asai got his hand on Mahomes while he was still kind of in bounds. But it's the shove, right? It's not like, oh, once you touch a guy, you can just – you know, pick up a bat three rows into the stands and start beating him over the head because you started your contact inbound.
Here's the picture he tweeted out.
Yeah, so hand is on Mahomes' shoulder.
But the push Mahomes' has not been made.
Yeah, the push hasn't started. Yes. Mahomes' foot is not quite down, right?
Which I quote tweeted and said that's not where he made the contact.
Right, right. It's a legal play up until then.
Yeah. But he makes the contact. He's almost
the hit. He makes all contact the way, yeah. as in touching
but
him.
But the actual shove part happens. Mahomes is almost completely across the entire black
white
boundary.
I think his second foot was down when the shove happened.
His left foot's down when the shove happens.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a no-brainer.
It is.
But do you buy his answer? I think he was selling.
Well, I tell you, I do buy the idea that with his ankle, he wasn't going to put on the brakes. He wasn't going to plant. But he did the right thing in that moment. You continue to run and you get pushed. Of course, your body's going to go in the direction it went. I am of the belief that if Osai hadn't pushed him, he could have picked up 3 or 4 more yards. You know, he could have continued. If he had more of a Osai, am I pronouncing his name right? Osai, if he didn't have the angle that he had and wasn't in a position to push Mahomes, I think Mahomes could have stayed in bounds and picked up a couple more two or three more yards, which might have made a difference in I think would have maybe gotten into Butker's range. Where he went out of bounds, I don't think is in Butker's range, right?
No.
That would have been a 59-yard field
goal.
Not on
that night.
Right, right.
You know what I think this is an example of? This is just, to me, what I always talk about. And I came up with it. I didn't concoct or have a plan that came together, but just throughout the term, and it's kind of stuck.
I invented it.
very enlightened trip to the bathroom is what it was. My God, that's it.
It's like Rocky beating the side of beef. Other fighters do this? No, I think I invented it. That's what I was thinking of. Imagine me, an old movie reference. Stunning.
We have fun here.
We have fun.
So how about those Tigers, Blair? I don't even want to do it anymore. I don't even want to tell you. Don't even want to share it with you. Don't even want to share, you ungrateful pigs. Frying out loud. I coined a phrase I like to call rooting for your prediction.
It's a good one.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And it's very useful.
I think it's very important for us in our line of work and the media to not get caught, rooting for your predictions.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
I even bust Eager sometimes. I mean, he's the analytics guy. He's supposed to be purely driven by math. And I'm like, Eric, stop grabbing just the numbers that work. Let's grab all the numbers when we start arguing about it. And he gets, I'm the mathematician over here. Don't you dare question me. I question all. Trust me.
He takes out his calculator and then does a couple things and then turns it upside down. It's a curse word.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's math humor. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm hearing happen after that game is a lot of people root for their predictions, like make excuses for their predictions. I picked the Bengals. It didn't come through. I said Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes. It didn't come through. So I'm going to work backwards. Refs gave it to him. Like Mike Greenberg, I don't know who Mike Greenberg picked last week, but I would bet at least $1,000. That, and if you know I'm wrong,
that
then
he
I'm not
lost at least $1,000.
Well, yeah, or that that he spent last week chirping about how Burrow was better, because they hit the ground running on Monday about all these. He did a whole thing on, for 2 days. It was about how bad officiating is,
really.
And they were showing like this alleged clip on the Sky Moore return. Even Greenberg wouldn't go that far. He was like, "Well, we're not going near the out of bounds." God, that was obvious. But he came up with this mystery clip on Harris on the Sky Moore return, and then Orlando Brown holding on that play on the Patrick Mahomes play when they got all tangled up. But he's well within his body. Pretty much, if you stay within the body of the offensive lineman, they're not going to call anything.
Right.
You get outside and you have to reach. It's like Tim always says: if you got to reach, push, don't pull, because once you pull, you're going to get called for holding. I'm amazed, and I think I'm not surprised, but I'm just amazed at how outlandish it is. Because I'm not surprised from the standpoint that I said, look, in 18, I said, enjoy this. In 19, enjoy it. Because very quickly, this team's not going away. They're going to remain very good. And the hip thing isn't going to be no longer to celebrate the Chiefs. It's going to be to bring the Chiefs down. It's going to be to find the next team. And everyone's going to start jumping on every other team that comes at them, just like everybody did against the Patriots. Patriots ruled the roost for basically 20 years. But man, if you could find a train leaving the station that you thought might be bringing them down, or another quarterback, Everybody was jumping on it, and then Brady would beat him. And that's what this is. It's no different. They're assuming the mantle, the title of what the Patriots had, right?
Yes, totally. But that's what we do. That's what sports fans do.
That's what they do.
They. That's right.
We hold ourselves to a higher standard in this room.
Oh, yes. They. It's the worst fans in sports. They.
Them.
They. Them oh, and they.
Yeah. What they're saying.
That's yeah. right. You know. Did you hear what they said? Did you hear what they said?
It's fun. I relish it. Like, people send me emails like, I mean, why is it? I'm like, enjoy it. Oh, you're what they want to be.
So the biggest compliment you could possibly imagine from a sports
fan. You're
sports
rooting for the team they wish they were rooting for. You're having the enjoyment they wish they had. They didn't. And what is America founded on? Enjoying other people's misery. So there it is. Be American. Enjoy their misery. Right? It's in a declaration or
Bill of something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. One of the places
one
there in D.C.
Bill of...
Four score and 7 years ago, we enjoyed watching them die. Isn't that where it started? Something like that?
I think so.
You're right about 18 and 19. They were the Chiefs were the darlings. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the successor. That was the...
And the Bengals were playing that role.
Mm-hmm. And the Bills before them. The Bills, I think the Bills and the Bengals.
Which is weird
played.
Because the Bengals were playing that role, even though they were in many ways the heavy. It's hard to go into a game thinking you own the place and are also the darling. But they were in that game. It's a rare moment where a team can be both.
I think in some ways...
And the Chiefs took care of both of them.
In some ways, because of the matchup the Bengals got in the conference championship game, the Chiefs, who they'd beaten three times in a row, empowered people to be, oh, no way. Chiefs can't win. Mahomes isn't as good. Burrow's better. It empowered them because they stood on a platform of three straight wins.
Which is a pretty solid platform.
Yeah.
Very solid.
And so they fired away.
And one of those being in that round, in that building.
Mm-hmm. And I'm of the belief the 1.5-point Eagles line is based somewhat on trying to anoint the Eagles in advance. And they're working backwards. No, I want to believe the Eagles are it. Listen, pretty much rule of thumb. You know, if you have a great quarterback and the other team doesn't, the great quarterback wins.
That's true.
You know, Tom Brady fell to Eli Manning twice, and then the one exception, Nick Foles, not a great quarterback. He fell to Nick Foles, but he fell to Eli Manning twice. He didn't lose to Scribini.
No, or DeLome.
Right.
He didn't lose to those guys.
And when Trent Dilfer won, Trent Dilfer didn't beat Brady. Trent Dilfer didn't beat Brett Favre. He beat
Kerry
Collins.
Yeah. Right. I've thought about that.
My point is, do you believe Jalen Hurts is a Hall of Famer?
Then he can win
this game. Because Patrick Mahomes is. If you don't think he's a Hall of Famer and there's a definitive difference between the two quarterbacks, then Patrick Mahomes should be favorite.
Not the case, as we know. I think the line had to do with the health. Four starters leaving the game, and their health uncertain. We got some little bit of clarity on it today. You know, Hardman's not going to be back. You think you don't know about Tony. I would guess that Legarius.
Well, Tony was the one that he said was about.
Yeah,
he was almost there.
Yeah. Wasn't. Yeah,
was close.
Wasn't. Yeah.
But Juju.
He thought Juju would be able to practice next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's optimism on Juju. There's confidence on Tony. Optimism on Juju and pessimism to out. Yeah. On McCole Hardman.
He did everything but say he won't play today.
And Gay, I think, will be back. Willie Gay will be back.
He was practicing today, right? Yeah. He wasn't on the list of guys who wasn't.
That's right. He didn't even mention him. That's how confident.
But Legarius Sneed is scary.
Yeah. The concussion protocol, sometimes it's a week. I thought it was – it's instructive that they called it the concussion protocol and not a head injury. When it's a head injury, they're out a week. When they're in the concussion protocol, it tends to last a little longer. So,
when you watch the way
seems to me, just observing over the years, that's why when Mahomes went down against Cleveland in the playoffs a couple years ago, that was a head injury. It wasn't a concussion. When Alex Smith went down at Indianapolis in a regular season game, and then Nick Foles had to come in and play the next week.
Are you sure? Because I think in the Cleveland game, I think I remember, and there's people I respect who are saying this, but I'm going to make fun of them right now. The shenanigans about his head got bent forward. Remember they were trying to claim it wasn't he wasn't
something
concussed.
About his neck and it caused it, the, it hit a nerve neck, that
it was about his head getting
out.
Bent down. I go, yeah, you mean like the lower part of the brain down here where it got snapped real quick and slammed against the skull? Yeah, you mean like a concussion? it just got bent down and it can like, you know, stop. He was concussed. I mean, settle down, Skippy.
And rallied.
He's going to answer the questions the way he needs to play. I'm going to be blunt.
Feature about that.
He may not. He may or may not have been good to go in that AFC Championship game. I don't know, but I had no doubt he was going to play.
He was going
to
go.
But this neat thing, you're not. It's rare do you see a player get hit, and the way he got up, it looked like the world is spinning on him.
Yep.
He could barely find his footage.
He couldn't. Well, first he started to try to get up, and he went back down face first.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, he's done. He's not playing a game.
No
exactly.
Way.
Exactly. What, and it wasn't helmet to helmet. It was helmet to...
He got kneed in the head.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, he's not playing again. Well, I don't know. I'm like, stop. Legarius Sneed will not play another down. I said, if he does, then you have a Dolphins situation going on right now.
Yeah. Someone needs to lose their job.
You should lose your job. Whoever clears him to play now is fired because there's no way. And I'm not thrilled about that. I was like, this is how it happens again.
Yeah,
you know,
here we are.
Your second best defensive player goes down on the fourth snap. This is how we get screwed.
The guy who's there to cover their best player, gone on the fourth play. There you go.
Which just speaks to, I think it was like, when you use the term team victory, I think it was the greatest team victory in the history of Chiefs football.
It could have been. I think it's one of the top five victories of all time. Super Bowls.
You end up talking about the GM. You end up talking about the doctors, the training staff.
What's amazing is all that is true.
Julie saved the game.
Yes.
I was so glad that Rick Burkholder did that this week and really the guy who was responsible largely for Kelsey's recovery as well. But it's a rarity when you have – that's all – absolutely true. Everyone came out of nowhere. And in the same game, which there's also one of the great individual accomplishments and efforts by the best player in the league. You don't usually have both those in the same game, but you had both of those, and they needed every bit of all of that.
Yeah, but
it
wasn't a statistical accomplishment that Mahomes put out there.
But have one guy have a game of a lifetime, given the circumstances of his physical ability, but yet also be a massive team victory. Maybe there is one causing the other that I'm overlooking.
But if he'd gone for 455 and 5 and we're talking about it being a team victory, I would subscribe to your theory. But I don't, because he had a normal-ish two touchdowns.
Yeah.
For
326.
His quarterback rating was kind of where it is career wise. 106 or something.
106, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why this was not just Mahomes running for 15 yards on fourth down. It wasn't him, you know, throwing for 500. And no, everybody had to bring it.
Yes,
in that one.
Yes. But I think it applies to Chris Jones. I thought he had the game of his career.
Yeah. I'll buy that for sure.
Phenomenal game.
We'll take a break. Blair Kirkhoff is with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Art and Frame Warehouse. Find him online at framekc.com. Any piece of sports memorabilia, they're absolutely the best. They'll deliver and install it as well. Plus, everything comes with a lifetime warranty. They've only had to honor that once or twice, but it's nice to know. I've never needed it, but nice to know if anything goes wrong. Art and Frame Warehouse, 20 years in business, right there at 92nd and Metcalf. Find him online at framekc.com.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt end of the hour answer. Three pairs of brothers have played in the same Super Bowl for the same team. I asked for any of the three. This will be the first time a pair has played in the same game against each other. Three pairs have played in the same Super Bowl for the same team.
Well, the McCourties.
Devin and Jason McCourty.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 53 for the Pats. One pair was the members.
The Blackwoods,
Glenn and Lyle Blackwood.
Oh, that's good.
Killer Bees.
The Dolphins. Yeah.
What about the one was a running back for the Giants, and the other was a defensive back for Tampa.
Barbers.
Same Super Bowl. Same game.
And same team.
So the Barbers is correct.
Same
right?
team.
One played yes. for the Giants and one played for Tampa. So, yeah, Barbers. That was the
for
other one. Great job,
the
Adam.
Same team.
Good job, Adam. You are going to Joe's.
Fan Adam. Man.
But you better get out your wallet.
He had a parachute and a fan on his ass.
The other pair was the
Hang
first
on.
Pair to do it, and I will give you one hint.
Okay.
One of them was a Heisman Trophy winner.
You don't need a hint. I just got it.
A Heisman Trophy winner. Not the Pruitts. Garrett's? I don't know. I'm out.
Ray and Archie Griffin.
Oh, really?
Of the Cincinnati Bengals in Super Bowl 16.
Archie Griffin was on that team? Totally news to me.
Number 40. Number
really?
45, I think he was. In
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue is absolutely phenomenal. You can get some on your yes. way home tonight, joeskc.com. Very, very efficient on the carryout. Just pull in there. Dial it up, and out they come. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Don't forget, if you're going to be doing some grilling out, weather's going to get cold tomorrow, then be back to being nice on the weekend. So if you're going to be grilling out, the Kansas City Barbecue store has everything. It's time to get outside and get that grill going. Go get you, check out those Traeger grills. That's what I got there. I love it. The guys are great. Tell them what you want to do with it. They'll help line you up with the exact perfect grill. Grills, sauces, rubs, utensils, everything. It's at the Kansas City Barbecue Store, 119th and Strangline, right across the parking lot from Joe's in Olathe, 119th and Strangline. Blair Kirkhoff is with us, brought to you by Art and Frame Warehouse. How about those Missouri Tigers, Blair?
Nice victory last night.
Dennis Gates, along with Jerome Tang, continue to show just how farcical LSU is.
Yeah,
there is no right. reason to be good, to be bad, and to claim like 3-4 years are necessary to turn something around.
Absolutely true. And LSU's trying to do it with a new coach. But I don't know if there's an award for best first year coach or for, you know, not first time coach, but first year coach. But if there was in college basketball this year, Jerome Tang and Dennis Gates would be absolutely at the top of the list of finalists for something like that. It's amazing what they're doing. Now Missouri, to me, still they've got a little ways to go. After they play at Mississippi State this weekend, South Carolina at home on Tuesday, and then a real gauntlet of like Tennessee at Auburn. There's like another one in there too that's going to be really tough.
Does Auburn still count as part of a gauntlet?
Well, I think it's the sandwich in a gauntlet. Tennessee on one side and maybe, is it Alabama or something on the other? I can't remember.
For my money, you can't beat a sandwich in a gauntlet. I mean.
At Tennessee, at Auburn, and then home for A&M and Mississippi State.
A&M, who had beaten them, right. That's beside the point. He's having a fantastic season. When it looked like teams had caught up to them a little bit, they found another gear and they're shooting.
And another player, him getting
that's right.
Mosley back actually on the court and being productive. Mm-hmm. And that helped their offense.
He's checking a lot of boxes in 1 year. Like dealing, it's not like, oh, this is all perfect. You know, a little bit of the Frank Haith year where they ran out to be a number two. Like kind of everything worked great. They were healthy all year and
ready-made team. He didn't have to build that team. That team was ready to rock.
A lot of upperclassmen and everything. This has a lot of upperclassmen, but they're all coming from different places. And you know, but just his ability to assimilate Mosley back into the mix, and you know, he's doing a lot of things that show that it's yes, he can find talent, but he can blend it together, and he can make it, you know, come together as a team.
You can start from scratch and build a top 20 team, top 25 team.
I think that's great for the sport. If I get one more, like, you know, hey, make a note of this, Adam. Tomorrow. I'm going to punch Danny right in the face.
Got it.
If we could make a note of that. Because listening to him whine about, you know, NIL and transfers and like I'm tired of it. I love the transfers. I absolutely love it. Transfer away, kids. Transfer wherever you want. It's like free agency.
You should always have been able to do that.
Yes. Number one, morally, it's the right thing. But I want you to transfer away. And transfer around because, number one, it gives us off-season interest.
Sure it does, yeah.
It's like the hot stove. You know, baseball doesn't do anything anymore, so somebody's got to do something. you know, you get that aspect of it. But then it also, it sells hope, right? Unless you've given up on your coach, There's no reason you can't be a pretty damn good team, no matter how you finished last year. And, you know, and this isn't, it's, you know, well, it's an isolated circumstance. Let's wait. And T.J. Otzelberger did it last year with Iowa State.
Sure did. Yep.
Good. You know, they're not the first two to do it. They may be the best two. You know, I mean, we'll see if Gates ends up making the tournament. Right now, I think he'd be in today. I don't know. Have you seen Lunardi or
no,
Jerry
no,
Palm? Or?
Not this, but they would be in. They're above 500 in conference play. And the Iowa State win this past weekend was terrific for them. So
that was a big one.
Yep. So they would definitely be in. I like that the Otzelberger example, I think, is important because it means that you can win in a second year. He did it in his first year. So as we're looking at Tang and Gates for down the road, if they lose players and have to go out and get transfers again, it can be done, as Otzelberger's Cyclones are showing us this year. If you're good at this, you're good at this, you know? I think it's two-thirds of the way through the season, but I think we can conclude that Kansas State and Missouri made terrific hires, and fingers crossed that they're going to be here for the long haul.
Last bracketology, which was January 31st, it was Tuesday, they're a 7 seed, which means if Missouri fans are happy they've gotten. They've been an 8 or a 9 every single time. Like, oh, great. Like they that. Get in and they get to get smoked by, you know, Zach Edey in the first round. But they're a 7 right now.
So if Gates makes the tournament and loses in the first round, he'll get $6 million per year, right?
Is that what it is?
Wouldn't that be the equivalent of what Eli Drinkwitz did?
No, it wouldn't be. It would be more than what Eli Drinkwitz did.
If he wins a tournament game, 7. Sweet 16, 8. Well, Elite 8, 9.
Good, yeah, man.
Final 4, 10. Thanks. Championship game, 11. Win it, $12 million a year. That's how they do things at Missouri.
I'll tell you what, if he wins a national championship, I wouldn't stop at 12. He would, you can give him what he wants for that accomplishment.
Because no one's ever failed after winning a national championship early. Kevin Ollie. What's his nuts at Miami in football? Larry Coker.
Mm-hmm. Coker.
You know, I think Gates is the real deal. I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch the Missouri fans get to have fun.
Absolutely,
and that's what I'm enjoying.
And they're showing up. I'm looking at the.
They were calling today. They called about Missouri basketball.
That's fantastic.
They usually don't do that.
Had 13,000 there last night for an 8 o'clock game on a Wednesday night
against a turd opponent.
Yeah, against a
team that lost.
Well, I'm like, oh, Kentucky's coming or Kansas is coming. Right. It was LSU.
Yeah, they had 14,000 for Vandy on a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock a couple weeks ago.
Let's take a break. One more with Blair. We're going to talk about K-State and KU, the Jayhawks extracting revenge. We have quite a race in the Big 12. We'll talk about it with Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by our friends at Art and Frame Warehouse. Find him online at framekc.com. See him in person at 92nd and Metcalf. All your sports memorabilia. They specialize in it. They're the best in the business. The only place I'll go is Art and Frame Warehouse. Framekc.com. See him in person at 92nd and Metcalf. This is just silly.
Yeah, it was.
We'll save that for a later day, but I'm glad you agree.
Yes.
It's like, what are you thinking? You're clearly not. Blair Kirkhoff is here. Of course, we speak of Adam Dravetta running the operation. Curtis Siebelt producing not much. Now, I don't know where he is. I don't know. Bathroom. I don't know what he's doing. Blair, KU, K-State. Blair Kirkhoff, by the way, brought to you by Art and Frame Warehouse. You can find them online at framekc.com. KU and K-State, what do you make of the Jayhawks extracting revenge from the K-State Wildcats and getting the cover, I might add?
They did get the cover.
8.5 was the number. Brought it home. A little doubt when it got cut to 5.
Yep. Early in the second half.
Had the Hawks minus the 8.5. Thank you. Appreciate
good
it.
Call. I don't know if I would have done that.
I had the Cats the first time, so I've gone 2-0.
Well,
those two have gone 1-1. Not me. 2-0.
Know your team.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Teams.
But what do you take away from
that? That Kansas has righted the ship after the, you know, the whatever point loss to TCU a week and a half ago. So Bill Self has to feel better about his guys. I wouldn't be discouraged if I were K-State, even though they lost an opportunity to sweep KU. Would have been fantastic for that program. But no, I I think both of them come out of there not feeling, well, certainly Kansas is, like I said, feeling better about the way things are going after that losing streak. And Kansas State, no reason to feel bad. I think you pinpoint that loss on about a three-minute stretch in the first half. And how many consecutive – every time I looked up, there's another bad pass or Kansas is in the passing lane. And Kansas is – you can't give away that many possessions consecutively. And that's what K-State did, and Kansas took full advantage of it. So – did not change my feeling at all that these are two teams that could play well into March. I'd be kind of disappointed if they both didn't get to the second weekend. And then once you get there, who knows?
What do you – the Ken Palm says K-State's like 25.
Oh, I didn't see that, really.
Yep. That's where I'll look where
– where's KU?
KU
– higher, I assume.
Right now, KU is at 9, and K-State is at – 24. Now, it's a metrics thing. It doesn't mean that's their tournament resume.
No.
Tournament resume is like a 3-2 seed. I'd say probably a 3 seed right now is what their tournament resume is.
I would think I haven't looked at this, but enough quad one wins, wins over the highest, level of talent that would be comparable to the top, I would think, to the top 10, 15 teams in the country. I just don't know it off the top of my head.
I talked about it with Gary Parrish, and I said, well, how are they going to get seeded? He said, well, they'll get seeded by their resume. Their resume says 2 or 3 seed, right?
Yeah.
But, more and more everybody looks at the computers, looks at the metrics. I wonder how much when they go, ooh, 24 on Ken Palm. That puts you last 6 seed.
Yeah. If you're
24, then
right.
Mark it down. But I don't think that's the seed they're going to get, but I could see it being like, they're the lowest 4 or what? They're a 5? What the hell is going on here? It's like, well, this might be what's going on. That's the only thing is the pace and all the things that go into the metrics don't love them as much as their resume says you should.
Well, didn't play the toughest non-con schedule, and your number of quad 1 and quad 2 wins fluctuates during the year depending on how those opponents have fared. So I think they're going to be fine, and there are plenty of opportunities in the last, 6 weeks now in the regular season, if that much. Plenty of opportunity to continue to build the resume. I don't, even with the outcome of Tuesday night's game, I don't think there's one less ounce of respect for Kansas State. And who do they? I think I've got Texas at home this weekend, so there's a grand opportunity to pick up another quality win. Team they've already beaten this year, so I'm still. There was a stretch. I talked about the stretch where they gave the ball away. There was another stretch in that first half where Keontae Johnson could not be stopped.
Right,
just could not be stopped.
Well, that was my takeaway for K-State was that they aren't just a turtle flipped over on their back. No. Right, it wasn't like, oh, they got lucky in that last one. They validated their win. From the game at home, they were at Allen Fieldhouse. That's a tough place to get a win, and they took punches, but they fought all the way to the end. Right,
yep.
Like there was no knockout in this game. They fought all the way to the end. So I have confidence that they're going to finish up strong. Maybe it's 11-7. That would be 5-4 finish.
Yeah. Yep. 11-7 would be I think a pretty darn good record, conference record in this league this year, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think there are 5-6 teams, maybe 7, that could win the tournament, the Big 12 tournament. So, which means you'd win, you'd have 3 quality wins going into the NCAA. Can really improve your seeding in Kansas City in mid March. So. No, all good with Cats. And the other thing, and look, if you're a Kansas fan, you have to like what DeJuan Harris, how he finished out the game. And he was, that 3-game slide for Kansas really did coincide with DeJuan Harris not playing very well. That's how important he is.
Well, and Bill Self said afterwards, like, you got to go. Like, you got to score the ball.
Yes. Yep.
And he did. He went to the bucket. And I think, there might have been a little bit off to go back and look. Was he get a little 3 happy after that?
After the 5-for-5 yeah. game he had? He may have, but because that's exactly when it started going south for him, is after the big game. Then he turning in some 0-for-3s and 1-for-5s. And, they cannot have that from him. and because he is left open too often. You got to make him pay.
Yeah, and he either got to blow all the way to the rim, which he did that last night
as
well.
Did. Yep.
Or not last night, whenever Tuesday. It was, 2 nights ago. Or you got to make him pay with a jump shot.
Yep.
And you know, he was able to do that. And that's when I think Kansas is at their toughest. What do you think of how they finish?
Well, it's funny. They're halfway through. Aren't they halfway through the season now? Hasn't everybody got nine
yep.
games, right?
Nine games, yep.
And they still haven't played Texas. Which is interesting, I think.
Which is a reason to like them, because they've got two games against them. So that's the only team they got to make up ground on, and
yep.
they've got two more with them.
So what are they? Who's Texas? Is it 7-2?
Yep.
And who else is it? Seven? Is anybody else?
That's it. Just Texas, and then 4-6-3.
Yeah.
Kansas, Kansas State, TCU, and Iowa State, and then Baylor at 5-4.
Well, how many times have we been through the? You know, Kansas has lost a game or two, or even that three game. You know, one of the rare three game losing streaks, and that's it. This is the year they don't win it, and they win it. They'll come back and win it.
Yeah, I
might even pick them. Haven't studied Texas, but I might even think Kansas is the best team in the league.
Well, it's a giant weekend. I will say that. Like, it's a great weekend for bye week in the Super Bowl. We get a chance to really kind of dig in to the college basketball. Kansas has Iowa State at Iowa State, and then they go, then they come home for Texas.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to play one of the other teams at 6-3, and then the one team that's at 7-2. Kansas State, likewise, they got Texas at home and then TCU at home. So they're playing the 7-2 and the 6-3. So a chance for them to really make up some ground. Texas, of course, Texas has before. Let's see, they have K-State at K-State and at Kansas back-to-back. So they very quickly could be sitting at 7-4, looking up at both KU and K-State.
Yep. This is the part of the schedule that Bill Self, I remember, I forgot who they were playing at home. Iowa State. When they played Iowa State at home a couple weeks ago, just went down the list and said, it's a joke. You know, it's a joke what their schedule is, because they had the Kentucky game in the middle of all that with K-State, Iowa State, TCU. It's a heck of a schedule that everybody in the Big 12 has to play.
Of the next two games, TCU gets at Oklahoma State, so they got a little bit of a breather. Mm-hmm. They're not playing one of the big boys. And Iowa State has Kansas, but then they go to West Virginia. And, by the way, then Oklahoma State. So they've got a stretch. This is, if Iowa State can get a win against Kansas, and then they get a chance to put on a couple of more. It's a big, big weekend for who's going to win the Big 12.
And you're right. I mean, with the Super Bowl the next week, this is the. I'm glad it's a big weekend in college hoops. And
yeah,
as much as we're having all kinds of fun following the Chiefs, a little bit of me misses diving into college basketball in the way that we usually do.
I agree, and you know. We should point out, yes, no one's going to be watching any college hoops when the Pro Bowl's going, you know.
That's right.
Do they wear the flags? Do one of these jackasses turn it over so you can't really pull the flag off? You know, how's that going to go?
Yep.
You know, we're all pretty eager to see that Pro Bowl, I know, right?
I'm just glad there are no Chiefs in it. That's the best, second best thing about making the Super Bowl is you don't have to watch the Pro Bowl.
Ty Huntley's going to play safety and, you know, should be just a true, just one of the great competitions of all time.
Bring back Team Sanders.
Yeah, should be great. Blair, always a pleasure, buddy. Appreciate it.
Talk to you again soon.
The great Blair Kirkhoff, brought to you by our friends at Art and Frame Warehouse.
All right, George Toma, 94 today. He's worked every Super Bowl. What did he used to put on top of his Super Bowl end zone markers? Brought to you by Good Sam.